We're going to be reading out of John chapter 4, where Jesus talks about living water. And for me, I love water. I don't drink soda usually. I love water, and I wanted to know what your favorite drinks were. So just raise your hand, Anna. I'll come back to you. What's that? Prime and energy. What is that? It's a energy drink. Okay. Liam, what's your favorite drink? Water. It's very good for you. What about you, Sam? Root beer is amazing. That's my favorite soda. If I do drink soda. Water as well. That's awesome. All right, one more. Come back to you, Anna. What's up? Peach tea? What's that? Fanta. That's pretty good. So we're going to go ahead and jump into the scripture and see what Jesus says about this living water. What makes this water living? He says to this woman he interacts with, "Whosoever drinketh of the water of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Now, what we didn't read is that this woman Jesus was talking to was somebody that a lot of people around Jesus wouldn't want to talk to. The people in her town didn't really like her that much, and the people that Jesus hung out with, his disciples, his family, didn't even like the people who didn't like her that much. So it was weird that Jesus was in this place talking to this woman. And so I just wanted to point out to you that if Jesus is talking to this person who maybe we shouldn't be, or he's preaching the gospel to this person who his friends don't like, and it's weird for him to be hanging out with her, then we should be telling those at school or in public that we see that maybe we don't get along with, we should be telling those people about Jesus too. And there's never a good enough reason to not tell someone about the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, does anyone, just take a guess if you have any idea what Jesus means by living water? What makes this water living? Anna? The Holy Spirit. Exactly. So that's right on. So this water is not literally an alive being with legs and arms like you and me. But the reason this water is living is because it's life-giving. So Liam pointed out that water is really good for you. And it is. You need water to live. It's really good for you. If you go too long without drinking water, you won't be able to drink water again. And so you have to drink water. But Jesus says this water is way better. The living water that Jesus offers is way better for you than normal water that you need to live. And what makes it better is the Holy Spirit. This living water is everlasting life. So drinking soda is yummy, but drinking soda is kind of like living life without Jesus as a metaphor. But drinking of this living water is taking Jesus, turning away from your sins, and turning to Jesus and living a life for him. So let's go ahead and pray, and you'll be dismissed to the back with your teachers. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for today. We thank you for this opportunity to get together, this awesome group of kids that we have. We pray that you help us to take away this message properly, that your word rests in our hearts, Lord, and that we can come to know you and grow in relationship with you, Lord, and that these kids learn big things in their classes, Lord, that they can apply in their daily lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just like the kids, we're going to be reading out of John chapter 4 today. I'm really excited to be here for a few reasons. One, this is actually the first sermon I ever preached here at Alvin was out of this passage, and for whatever reason, God just laid it on my heart, and I ended up coming back to it. And there's a lot of reasons that's been on my mind, and I've been praying through it, and I'm really excited to be given the opportunity to bring the word to all of you today. And it's also just really awesome to be in Alvin. I've been in Henderson, and I like Henderson a lot, but this is where my membership resides. This is where I want to serve, so I'm really excited to be here with all of you. And just to kind of give some details on the Africa thing, I'm going to be going there to this coming week to through the end of December, and I'm going to be there. The primary reason was to make a video for the 20th anniversary of what they're doing down there mission-wise, but I'm also going to be preaching both Sundays I'm there and helping out with some other stuff. I don't really know all the details, but it all kind of just started because he needed help with a slideshow, and then it turned into this big thing and asked me to go. So I'm excited, I'm nervous, and I'm beyond grateful for all of the prayers and the church willing to give and help out with all of it. It just means so much, and I'm just super, super grateful to be a member here at Alvin, especially, you know, whenever, like, times like these just remind me of how awesome of a congregation I get to be a member at. So I just really appreciate all of you for that. If you would, please stand with me in the honor of the reading of God's Word in John chapter 4. There's going to be a lot of reading, so I'm sorry you got to stand so long, but God deserves it. Starting in verse 3, it says, "He, Jesus, left Judea and departed again unto Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called the Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith to her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went away into the city, and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. And all God's people said, Amen. So that's a lot of reading. And there's a lot there, but it's just a large interaction Jesus has with this woman. And I'm really excited to engage with this passage with all of you. Today we're going to be looking at three key events that take place in this passage, three key things that happen in this interaction between Jesus and this woman of Samaria. But first, I want to establish some context that we need to have in mind as we walk through this passage. The first thing it says, and I'll talk about this a little bit more later, but it says that Jesus had to go, and that was not really the case as far as the way people around him saw it. Because as far as they knew, on this route, Judea to Galilee, that Samaria was kind of out of the way. Or maybe it wasn't out of the way, but they would always go around it because they didn't like the people who resided there, the Jews. So it's weird that Jesus is going to this place or that he had to go. And from this, we can imply that this is some sort of a divine appointment. He had to go preach the gospel to these people. And it says that it's about the sixth hour, so it's about the middle of the day, and he's resting because it's hot at this well, and this woman comes up to draw water. But she's alone, which is weird, and it's middle of the day, which is also odd, because typically they would go in the morning as groups, but this woman was alone in the middle of the day. So from this we can assume that she was some sort of outcast. There was a reason she was making this long walk in the hot sun alone. And the first key event that we see in this interaction is that Jesus offers to her living water. So not only did Jesus take an unlikely path to go preach the gospel to these people, but he finds himself in an unlikely scenario with an unlikely woman. It's odd that he's talking to this woman of Samaria one-on-one. It's odd that she's alone, and it's odd that he's even there. So everything about this interaction is just different. It's unusual. So he spoke to the last person he was expected to. But as we talked about with the kids, Jesus didn't think about that. Jesus has this theme throughout Scripture that you know, has this term unlikely in it. Jesus speaks to unlikely people in unlikely situations about salvation. And I think a small reason for that is probably because he knew his believers make a lot of excuses. And that we don't like to be put in those unlikely scenarios and those uncomfortable positions to share the gospel. How often do you feel a tug to talk to that person, or maybe it's some stranger in the grocery store, or it's someone that you're not super fond of? And you feel this tug to have a conversation with them about Jesus, but because of some excuse in your mind or some societal norm or whatever it may be, you just kind of brush that pull from the Holy Spirit off. And you say, oh, I don't know. I don't want to do that. That would be awkward. I don't even know this person. Or my friend doesn't like her. That would just create this weird dynamic. I don't want to do that. How often do you let what's normal keep you from being in an unlikely situation where you can share the gospel and grow the kingdom of God? The reason Jesus shares the gospel with this woman in this unlikely situation is because the world keeps us thirsty. The world keeps us coming back. I mean, this water that this woman was drinking of was good water. It was good. It kept her alive. But the water of this world is not. And we're going to spend a lot of time today diving into the difference between the water Jesus offers and the water that we take drink of as an alternative. Everything that the world offers is a counterfeit to what God offers. And if you have Jesus in your heart, then you know that. I remember growing up, whether it be on a road trip or just driving down the road, me and my brother would see a puddle of water further down the road, and we would ask our parents, like, what's that water in the road? Is there a flood? Why is there water on the road? And they would explain to us, maybe they would pull our legs a little bit, but they would They would further then explain to us that it was actually just a mirage of water. It was an illusion. There was no water there. So if you keep driving, it'll disappear. And trying to live your life pleasing the people around you is just like trying to take drink of that mirage of water that's not actually there. As soon as you finally start to get close enough, you finally start to reach people's expectations, you finally start to become what you think is good enough, the bar moves 100 yards further with your progress. If you give your life to the world, you're going to spend your entire life seeking an identity, seeking value. But that's okay, because in verse 14 we also see that Jesus satisfies. Jesus offers water that satisfies forever. It's easy to get caught up living life, living for others, seeking approval, trying to be good enough. But if you have Jesus in your heart, you know that everything from man is just a mirage of what Jesus offers. I think even someone here today who doesn't have Jesus in their heart would acknowledge that trying to please people is like trying to drink of a mirage of water. The only difference between the unbeliever and the believer is that Jesus has taken drink of that water. Or that we have taken drink of that water. And the second event that takes place, the second thing that happens in this interaction, is that the woman thirsts. So Jesus offers this living water, and this woman says, Where? I want it. I want some. I want this living water. And it's not just this woman who thirsts for this living water. Everyone thirsts for Jesus. Everyone seeks an identity in Christ. The only problem is, the world is telling you where to look. You have all these alternatives to an identity in Christ, but they're all just mirages. None of them satisfy. Satisfaction is found only in the identity you have in Christ. And we are all called to have an identity in Christ. We all thirst, but Jesus is the only one that will satisfy eternally. You don't have to keep coming back once you take drink of that living water. We all thirst for this living water, but what's the difference between this living water and the water of this world? What's the difference between what Jesus offers and what the world offers? And I think there's a few different answers to that, and there's a few alternatives, and we'll go through some of them, but the main thing that separates the water Jesus offers from the water of this world is that the water that Jesus offers is flowing and living. It's active. It's life-giving. The alternative to flowing water is stagnant water that allows bacteria to build up. Even just after a few days in a clean environment, water sitting still will develop bacteria and you won't be able to drink it. Living water represents the salvation we have in Jesus. And though the water of this well that this woman's drinking of is probably not stagnant, nasty water, it's life-giving water. Water, the water of this world is. And there's another alternative too. There's not just stagnant water that allows bacteria to build up, but there is just dirty puddles. You go outside after it rains and then there's some dirty water there. And, you know, continuing to sin is like having access to this fountain of everlasting, life-giving, fresh spring water, and running to this puddle, taking drink of it, and then getting sick, and just keep going back to this muddy puddle after you get sick. So Maybe you have that sin in your life that you keep running back to, and you keep taking drink of that muddy water that makes you sick and expecting a different outcome. Or maybe you don't have that sin that you struggle with, and you say, I'm doing pretty good. I'm not really struggling with sinning. I'm doing pretty good. You're not. We all sin. But you're remaining stagnant, and you're just kind of sitting still. You say, well, I'm not growing further from Jesus. I'm not growing further from God. I pray sometimes, but you're not growing closer to Jesus. So you're just allowing that bacteria, that sin, to consume you and grow in your life. I was reading that if you work out 2 times a week, you won't really have any muscle growth, which is weird to me. You have to work out a certain amount each week for your muscles to develop. If you sit still and if you even just do daily activities or go work a, you know, physically demanding job or relatively physically demanding job, it's likely that your muscle decays over time, even if you're doing a little bit of work. It's only whenever you strive to make that growth that you make that growth. Growth never comes by just sitting still, by remaining stagnant. This is a pattern that we see in all of life. So in order to grow closer to Christ, you cannot just sit still and stay away from sin. You have to actively run from sin and run closer to Jesus and cling to the victory that you have in Him. I mean, why are you being stagnant, allowing that bacteria to build up, when you're meant to be a vessel for eternal, flowing, life-giving water? There's research done on the silly game of peekaboo that we play with kids, and it shows that whenever you play that with a baby, you play that with someone young enough, when you cover your eyes up, they literally do not think you exist for a second. That they just, I don't really know how it works, but that's the claim, is that the baby doesn't understand that you're there. And we think, you silly baby. Of course they're still there. They just covered up their eyes. I mean, you see the rest of them. But then, as soon as we don't see God working huge miracles every second of our day, we start to live as if He's not even there. You think the baby's so silly. We do the same exact thing on a regular basis. But the truth is, God is there whether you see Him or not. And He's probably doing good works for you whether you see Him or not. I know He is. And we have to be patient in that. We have to trust that He's there. But not only is God there when you don't see Him, but He sees your heart. He sees that sin you're falling into when you're living without Him. God sees the things that you're ashamed of, that nobody knows about, and He still offers salvation that's so free, we can't even comprehend. And some people will say that that's an excuse to keep on sinning. Especially unbelievers. They say, well, then why are you living for God if you have Jesus in your heart? You're going to heaven. This is not a reason or an excuse to keep sinning, but instead, this is a source of huge conviction. To look at that grace that God has for us in giving us eternal life despite our constant sin should bring us down with conviction. That should give us the desire to give Him worship without blemish, to live every minute for Him. A God who does not remove salvation despite our sin is worthy of everything we can give. That conviction should drive us to run from sin and cling to the victory we have or can have in Jesus. And it's because of that that Jesus talks about worship. He says you must worship in spirit and in truth. We're no longer bound to Jerusalem. He says salvation is of the Jews, but now everyone can be saved if they accept Jesus into their heart. And he says that your worship means nothing if it's not led by the Holy Spirit. All that you do should be counted as worship, not just singing hymns, sitting down in your pew, or your tithe, or engaging with a sermon. All that you do should be counted as worship. And a God who does not remove salvation from us despite our constant sin is a God who deserves worship without blemish. So maybe you have that work that you really don't want to do, and you can't stand the school, or you can't stand that job, or you're so annoyed with your coworkers. Well, that was a gift from God, and you should lift up those efforts to God as worship. And you need to do it like you love it. You need to do it like it was a gift from the creator of the universe who loves you immensely, regardless of how tired you are, or how beat up you are, or how sick of this person you are. You have to do these things like you love it, because it should be counted as worship to our God. And this woman shows us that when Jesus does this work in your life, when Jesus offers you this living water, you share that. Because the third thing that we see that takes place in this interaction, the third event, is that the woman goes immediately. In this, it says that she left her water pot. This water pot was probably pretty large because they had to make a long walk to get to this well. So they would select big quantities. So this water jug, assuming it was a smaller one because she was alone and she's a small woman, it was probably a few pounds empty and up to 30 pounds full of water. That's pretty heavy. That's not that heavy, a few pounds, but it's heavy enough that it may have delayed how quickly she could get to these people. And you have to remember, these people in this town that she went to go share the good news of Jesus with, she said, come see a man who told me all I ever did, is this not the Christ? These people who she was so desperate to get to, they were people who counted her as an outcast. It's likely these people were the reason she was walking all alone. Or maybe it was her sin. That was the reason she was walking all alone, and they had casted her out. These people who had put this judgment on her. But she didn't care about that anymore. And she no longer cared about this long walk to this well that she made. She no longer cared about how thirsty she was when she made this long hot walk in the middle of the day, because she had an interaction with the Savior of the world. And so she had to go to these people who counted her as an outcast and tell them about this interaction. And when we take drink of the well of this world, it doesn't require a long hot walk to get to sin. Sin is a lot more accessible than this well that this woman is at. But when you walk away from sin, whenever you just continue to sin, you leave sin with a 35-pound jug of burdens and shame. When Jesus gives you water that gives you the desire to go preach the gospel to people you never heard of, he drops an empty jug instead of carrying a full one of shame and guilt and all these things that sin leads to. She left this water pot because it may have been a burden, or she just didn't care. She wasn't thinking about it. She was thinking about the gospel. It doesn't matter how heavy this water pot was. What matters is that she just didn't think about it. She was thinking about Jesus. We need to do that same thing. What is it in your life that you need to let go of and stop thinking about so that you can pursue Jesus? What is it that's getting in your way of preaching the gospel? Or maybe coming to know Jesus as your Savior? What is keeping you from that? You have to remove that and keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on His kingdom work. So she leaves her water pot. And it's a simple sentence. It's one sentence, what she goes and does. She goes and says, "Come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Is this not the Christ?" But in this, she gives us a little bit of an outline, a beginner's basic course on evangelism. The first thing she did is she shared her testimony. She says, "Look, this is what this man did for me." Some will say, maybe you say that you don't have much of a testimony. You say, "Oh, I grew up in church, and you know, I just gave my life to Jesus, and you know, he did a mighty work in me, but there's not much to tell. I was blessed with good parents who brought me up in church, and I just came to know Christ pretty easily. So there's not much to share." But this interaction that the woman had with Jesus was actually less significant than the interaction you had with Jesus when you accepted Him into your heart. Because this woman, I'm sure this woman is in heaven. But at the time of this interaction, she did not just receive the Holy Spirit and was immediately gifted with everlasting life. Christ had not resurrected yet. So I promise you that whatever it is that you've been through, whatever your interaction was with Jesus, it is sufficient for the preaching of the gospel because Jesus saved you. The testimony of what Jesus has done in your life is sufficient for the preaching of the gospel. So she shared her testimony, and then she extends Jesus' invitation. She says, "Come." We cannot just tell people what Jesus did for us. I think that's a pretty common thing in the world right now, is saying, "Well, this is what I believe," and just stopping there and saying, "But you believe what you want to believe." But we're not supposed to just tell people what we believe or what Jesus did for us. We're supposed to say, "Come. Come to church on Sunday. Come Wednesday." We don't just tell people what Christ has done for us. We invite them to have the same interaction. There's no reason we should not be inviting people to have the interaction we had with Christ, that we have with Christ now. I mean, if you have Jesus in your heart, you have the cure to eternal suffering. And you're just gonna say, "Oh, well, this is my thing, but you don't need it, right? I mean, this is just believe what you want to believe." No. You have to invite them to take drink of this eternal living water. So I'm going to ask that you would all stand with me as we go to the Lord in prayer. And Brother Justin's going to lead us in a moment of invitation. And as that happens, I want you to think about how you relate to this water specifically. Are you drinking of that dirty water? Are you allowing that bacteria to build up? What are you doing with the access you have to an eternal fount of living water that wells up in eternal life? Are you being a good steward of that? Are you giving God worship without blemish? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to gather together in a country without persecution, Lord. We're just so grateful that you've given us access to your scripture, Lord, even today. We're so thankful that we can read from your word and have takeaways and apply it in our life, Lord. We thank you for the work that we don't like and the school that we're sick of and these things that we just can't stand, but we just pray that we are good stewards of the living water you have gifted to us, and that we do not take advantage of your grace, Lord, and that we instead use it as a tool and a motivator for worship without blemish. Lord, we pray that you be with us throughout the rest of the service and throughout this week. And we pray that you just make your will clear to us and help us to grow closer to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.